Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of July 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dale Durkles. He's at AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, they produce ethanol, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. Along the way, we'll get an update about crop conditions in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota from statisticians from USDA's NASS, and we'll also take a quick look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what the numbers look like in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in Chicago lower for the day. July contract in the corn pit down 8 1/4 at $3.35 3/4. December 3.48 1/4, 9 3/4 lower. The March down 9 3/4 at $3.57 3/4. Next year's July corn, $3.68 1/4, 9.5 cents lower. July beans down 10 3/4, $11.06 1/4. September 10.84 3/4, 6 3/4. Lower November down 4, 10.73 1/4. January beans 2.5 lower, $10.72. And the July of next year at 10.29 3/4, down a penny. Bean oil 57 cents lower on the day at $30.25. Bean meal at $386 even, up 60 cents in the July. Soft red winter wheat down 3 3/4 cents at $4.15 3/4. The December at $4.48 down 5.5. July hard red at $4.5 down a penny and a half for the day. Live cattle futures, August contract down $1.30. They're at $112.35. October at $112.77 1/2, $1.22 1/2 lower. August feeders up 2.5 cents at $144.10. September at $143.57 1/2, up 22.5 cents. And lean hogs at $81.62 1/2, up 42.5 cents for the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at WILLAG.org. Check out my Twitter account at Commodity Week, or even look us up on Facebook. Look for the WillAg.org Facebook page. You can find all of our information on all of those sites just about any time that you would like.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $47.28 a barrel, up 68 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.58 1/10. That's unchanged. Gasoline at $1.43 7/10 is 8 8/10 cents higher. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.46 9/10. That's up 2 3/10 cents. Natural gas at $2.78 and 7 1/10 cents, 2 3/10 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,820. Is currently 58 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 96.135, down 1.2, or down 0.124 for the day. And the gold futures at $1,365.10, up $6.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. By the way, it's 84 degrees on the South Farms here in Urbana-Champaign. Partly cloudy, a chance of thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, a high of 88 degrees. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, low of 70 degrees, and on Thursday, partly cloudy early, with a thunderstorm becoming likely during the afternoon, an 80% chance of rainfall tomorrow with a high of 91 degrees, not much more than a couple of tenths over that period, maybe 0.06 on Thursday night as well with a 40% chance of rainfall, and will drop to a low of 73 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy skies and a high of 88. Friday night, partly cloudy, will drop down to a beautiful low of 63 to start the weekend. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Dale Durkles is here. He's with AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. Thanks, Dale, for being on the line with us today.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Good to be here.
Okay, so I've got a bunch of questions, as I imagine farmers do, about the trade this week. First, it appears, and I haven't heard a good explanation yet, maybe you will have one, that this was tripped off somewhere. Maybe outside of the grain markets, but bean meal in particular in the soy complex was that which really pushed the market lower. It was down the limit in several contracts yesterday. And just for reference, because I don't know that I've seen this happen before, and I don't know when the rule was put in place, across the bean complex, if two contracts that are non-spot month in any of the soy complex, beans, bean meal, or bean oil, trade the limit, all of them have expanded limits the next day. So today they were at a dollar. So what happened in bean meal?
Well, the bean meal thing is kind of symptomatic of the whole bean complex. It was really an accident looking for a place to happen. You know, we've seen just ever so slightly, we have seen some of the basis on bean meal itself start to soften up a little bit. Exports are still running at a really seasonally hefty pace, but seemingly kind of eased off a little bit in here. But the big notion, the big thing that really occurred, and it was really a combination both of bean meal and bean oil, is that the crush margin started to shrink. And when that happened, it really starts to put undue pressure back on the beans, cash market included.
So the cash market and the futures really tumbled yesterday. They were down pretty sharply today, but managed to gain some of that back through the afternoon trade.
If you look at a bean crush margin and you back that up, just looking at the spot months, bean oil, bean meal, and beans themselves, we were at $1.62. Back in the very end of May, even middle of June, we were trading about 91, and here recently ratcheted all the way down into the mid-50s. So, I mean, we really had taken a pretty hard slice out of the crush margins, and that had people thinking about, is crush going to back off? And if you think about it, you know, the last crush report that we had here, albeit a good crush number, was actually a little disappointing to the trade compared to what they were thinking.
What do you think about the current corn-to-bean ratio?
Beans are high relative to corn. I think that's just an easy conclusion to draw to. We're up at, well, today we closed out, if we look at new crop, at 3.08. If we look at old crop, we're at 3.29 as far as bean-to-corn ratio is concerned on the futures themselves. Anytime you get that ratio up over 3.4:1, beans don't hold gains against corn for a long period of time. There have been times, you know, where we've seen it skyrocket. You know, back in 73 was one of them that comes to mind. But generally, you get that ratio over 3.4:1, and you're working on borrowed time as far as beans holding gains relative to corn. That doesn't say beans necessarily have to go down. Maybe it's corn that comes along and rallies, but when you think about we're at virtually 3.3 here, it really suggests beans are really overpriced.
And do you see much downward pressure coming on them still?
On the beans?
Yes.
I think at this point you can take a look at the beans and you step back from the day-to-day movement of the market itself. I think the trend has turned from up to down. I think there's a little doubt in my mind of that at this point. And, you know, when you really look at the beans themselves, you know, everybody had been marching on a pattern here of expecting, you know, ending stocks to get ever tighter. And I think when you look at both the acreage number we had last week and the stocks number that were both heavier than expected, that means people are going to start adding back beans into their ending stocks estimate to some degree at this point in time, and that really takes away some of the enthusiasm to stay with the long positions in the bean complex.
Your assessment of the corn market, we now have cash and December delivery both, I think, in that 320 to 330 range.
Actually, it's interesting. Yesterday or today, when you look at the July corn itself, we came within fractions of a downside swing target. I think we're really overdone to the downside. And even you could argue the same thing in the beans with as much as we've taken out here in a very short term, that maybe we're a little bit overdone to the downside. But beans have this added problem that the corn doesn't. That's this overwhelming, huge, long fund position that the market still has to grapple with and leaves the market vulnerable to these sharp breaks. But I think funds themselves probably aren't going to wade into the short-term weakness, but it may come back in as we see the market regain from rallies like we did today. We came well up off the lows. We put about 30, 40 cents in it, and it really just stopped. So I think fund selling came in at the end of the day and capped the gains. The corn market, we don't have that problem. And corn is getting down to a price level here at this point, I think, where people are going to quit chasing the market to the downside. The other thing with corn, even though we know we have acres, we have a good-looking crop, we've still got a lot of the growing season to go yet. So I think people will probably step back from pressing the short side so much temporarily.
Anything on the livestock that we had to cover for the day?
I think the one thing that's really notable when you look at the hog market at this point is that we've probably passed the seasonal peak in terms of price, seasonal low in terms of numbers. Pork demand itself is holding up okay, but seems a little soft. I think we're really ready for the hog market to turn seasonally lower.
Thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Hey, good talking to you.
Good to talk to you, too. That, of course, is Dale Durkles. He is with AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Vermont's GMO labeling law has gone into effect, and it's changed what grocery shoppers are seeing on stores across the state. WCAX-TV in Vermont reports retailers across the state got word that some manufacturers would stop sending more than 3,000 products to the state. Some of the more easily recognized products include Pepsi Wild Cherry and whole wheat hot dog buns. Coca-Cola was one of the first major manufacturers to announce they were pulling some products from Vermont. Some experts worry that fewer products will mean less competition and result in higher prices for shoppers in that state. However, retailers in Vermont are given a grace period to sell improperly labeled products from store shelves before being fined. Speaking of the GMO labeling debate, that's continuing in Washington, D.C. The Senate at this hour is scheduled to vote on whether or not to move ahead with cloture on the compromise GMO labeling bill put together by Ag Committee Chair Pat Roberts and ranking member of the Democrats Debbie Stabenow. But they'll have some new information to consider, which is a U.S. Department of Agriculture assessment that responds to detractors' arguments against the bill. Last week, the Food and Drug Administration released a report at lawmakers' requests that found the bill is full of loopholes. Stabenow asked USDA to respond to the FDA report. USDA sent a letter on Friday that says it will follow the spirit of the law in crafting the rules and will require labeling for all GMO ingredients. And finally, this little kicker story. The maker of a beer named after one of America's revolutionary leaders has applied to trademark the name Brexit. That happened one day after the British vote to exit the European Union. The Boston Beer Company makes Samuel Adams beer and Angry Orchard hard cider. The company's trademark application was filed on intent-to-use basis and is for hard cider, but the Boston Beer Company wasn't the only one to file for a trademark on Brexit. A Chicago resident filed to use the name on clothing, and a Colorado company filed to use the trademark on dietary and nutritional supplements. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening to us on our home station, WILL AM 580, and many of our commercial stations, including simulcast at WTIM out of Taylorville and WHOW out of Clinton, Illinois, WKEI in Kewaunee as well. Find us online at willag.org if you'd like to listen to us again, or look us up on Facebook or on Twitter. My handle is @CommodityWeek. Now up next, the state statisticians with updates about crop conditions in their regions. As of the third day of July, USDA NAS reports 15% of the corn crop around the nation has silked. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 13%. 75% of that crop remains in the good to excellent categories, the same as the previous week. The previous year, by the way, those numbers were 55 and 14, or for a total in the two categories of 69%. This year, those two categories adding up to 75% for the 26th week of the year. 22% of the soybeans around the nation have bloomed. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 16%. That crop is in 15% good and 13% excellent condition. Last week, those numbers were 60 and 12, respectively. The winter wheat crop harvest has moved along fairly quickly this year. It's now reported by USDA NAS to be at 58% compared to the rolling five-year average of 55%. Now, here are statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region. Spotty precipitation brought relief to some while missing other areas entirely in Iowa during the week ending July 3, 2016. Topsoil moisture levels rated 8% very short, 25% short, 64% adequate, and 3% surplus. South Central and Southeast Iowa continue to have the lowest levels of topsoil moisture in the state, with two-thirds rated short to very short this week. 6% of the corn crop had reached the silking stage, with 79% of the crop rated good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 20%, 2 days ahead of both last year and the five-year average. There were scattered reports of soybeans setting pods. Soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent this past week. That is the weekly crop progress and condition report for Iowa. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Southern parts of Illinois received much-needed rainfall last week, but northern areas had below-average rainfall. Cooler temperatures relieved crop stress around the state. Producers were harvesting wheat, vegetables, oats, and hay before rain fell late in the week. The state average rainfall was nearly 1 inch and was slightly below normal for the week. Temperatures ranged from 3 to 7 degrees below normal, and topsoil moisture was rated 5% very short, 18 short, 72 adequate, and 5% surplus. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1st range from slightly above normal to nearly 4% above normal. 22% of corn acres have reached the silking stage in Illinois. That compares to 19% 1 year ago and 21% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 72% good to excellent. Wheat harvest reached 90% complete, compared to 60% last year and 71% normally. For soybeans, 18% of acres are now blooming, compared to 12% 1 year ago and 15% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 71% good to excellent. In other crops, sorghum planting is now 89% complete, oats are 7% harvested, and the second cutting of alfalfa hay is 55% complete. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Nearly one quarter of the second cutting of alfalfa hay was harvested during the week. This is the most days suitable for field work this season since the week ended May 8th. Reporters across the state said that soils were drying out and some corn leaves were rolling. Top soil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 17% short, 70% adequate, and 9% surplus. Minnesota's corn condition rating decreased 2 percentage points from the previous week, with 79% of the crop rated in good to excellent condition. 18% of the soybean crop was blooming or beyond, that's 2 days ahead of the 5-year average, but 2 days behind the previous year. Soybean condition rated 74% good to excellent, that's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. Spring wheat condition rated 67% good to excellent. 89% of the oat crop was at or beyond the heading stage, that's 11 days ahead of average but equal to last year. 24% of the oat crop was turning color, and the oat condition rated 81% good to excellent, which is down 3 percentage points from the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. With the Indiana Crop and Weather Report, spotty rains and cooler temperatures continued to provide relief to most of the dry areas of the state. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.02 to 2.98 inches, with a statewide average of 1.11 inches. Corn silking was 11% complete, compared to 6% last year and 11% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 75% in the north, 79% in central, and 57% in the south. Farmers continued to utilize irrigation systems to aid with maintaining adequate soil moisture. Much of the corn crop that was affected by the previous week's storms have recovered. Winter wheat was 63% harvested this week, compared to 33% last year and 47% 5-year average. Downed wheat from the previous storm system has slowed harvest for some farmers. Otherwise, harvest is progressing far more quickly than last year and the 5-year average. Soybeans blooming were 17% complete, compared to 11% last year and 15% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition was 73% in the north, 79% in central, and 57% in the south. Herbicide applications continued in the soybean fields, although controlling for mare's tail has been a challenge for growers. Plantings of early and double crop soybeans are finishing up. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 3rd, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their updates on the weekly side of the Crop Progress Report. Let's now turn our attention to the cash grain market. We'll talk with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's outside of Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you. Who do I have on board with me today?
Yeah, Pete today.
Oh, hi, Mr. Peterson. How are you this afternoon?
Great.
Excellent. Can you tell me about the rainfall in the area and what crops look like?
Very spotty rains. A big front came through this morning. Once again, we got some areas that it seems like no matter how it looks on radar, they just failed to get anything to hit the ground. But I guess the general coverage, I would say at least 2 to 3 tenths with a little bit more to the south. And we still got some areas that need some rain in the worst way. But, every little bit here counts, and the high heat might stress it pretty good. But I think we got another chance tonight for some more rain.
Farmers, I'm sure, are disappointed in the markets as of recent. How's your basis held up?
Our basis has improved. We increased earlier in the week to 2 over the September, and now we're at 5 over the September. I think basis in our area, at least, is probably going to have to work its way out to entice what little is left on the farm to move. And, obviously with ethanol where it is right now, there's a little bit of margin out there to play with.
All right, so you're expecting the basis will continue to widen for some time, I suppose.
Yeah, right now with the market the way it is, it just seems like, the big last couple of days, the big drop we've had, I'm not sure if basis is going to do enough to stimulate that movement, but we'll do what we can to help a little bit.
Yeah, and by widen, I mean get wider above as far
correct,
as
correct.
Over.
Correct, correct. So, I know what you
meant. Not unders. All right. So
there you go.
It's National Fried Chicken Day. Fried chicken dates back to ancient cultures all over the world, including Rome, Egypt, and China. Fried chicken in America has its roots in southern slavery. Fried chicken was often served among slaves on special occasions. It's also National Pickle Festival Day. As early as 1659, Dutch farmers in New York grew cucumbers, which were sold to dealers who cured them in barrels and sold them from market stalls. But it was not until 1820 that pickles were sold commercially in jars. In 1858, lineman Blake patented the first shoe sole machine. His invention revolutionized the shoe industry and made Plymouth County, Massachusetts, the nation's shoe capital. In 1886, Horlicks of Wisconsin offered the first malted milk for sale to the public. Horlicks developed the process to dehydrate milk and patented it in 1883, calling it malted milk. The company originally produced a food for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And in 1990, Nathaniel Wyeth died. Wyeth, an American chemist and inventor, received a patent for PET plastic beverage bottles. Those were the first plastic bottles strong enough to hold carbonated beverages that would satisfy food safety requirements. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner now here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks, Drew, for being with us. Little rainfall across the Corn Belt. Can you tell me your assessment of what's happened and what our expectations might be?
Well, you couldn't ask for a better deal over the past several days, almost a week, I guess, now. And adding on what's going to be coming up over this next week, most of the Corn Belt's problem areas are being healed up rather nicely. Of course, the big soakings last weekend from Kansas into southern Illinois and parts of southern Indiana and southern Ohio into Kentucky, that was definitely a godsend. And I think we are also seeing some benefit taking place here in the last couple of days across some areas in Minnesota and eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. But the best news is the driest areas left in the Corn Belt are in South Dakota, Michigan, southeastern Iowa, and the Delta, and all of those areas will get rain by the time we get to the weekend, and maybe a little follow-up moisture early next week. That puts almost the entire corn and soybean production area in a fairly good light of moisture, and I think we'll probably stay there for just a little while. We do think that maybe a ridge of high pressure will begin building back into the plains and western Corn Belt as we get out towards mid-month, and it will stay with us more frequently as we move through the balance of July and into early August. So the bottom line is that we will probably fall back into a little more typical summertime weather where we dry out a bit. But boy, this week's weather is so very important, and obviously the market thinks so too.
As you look forward, we're getting to that point where we'll be in the midst of pollination for corn. That should take place pretty shortly, maybe beginning as early widespread, that is the 10th and running through about the 18th for the bulk of the Corn Belt. Temperatures need to stay below about 93 degrees for the NIC to take place really well. What do you think?
I think we'll do pretty darn good. We'll be mostly running in the upper 70s and 80s across the eastern Midwest. The western areas during that time period will be in the middle 80s through the middle 90s, and there will be some upper 90s out there on the west side of the Missouri River. But I think for the most part, the heart of the Midwest will avoid those more threatening temperature levels.
And then let's take a little look around the rest of the planet. What places of interest do you know about?
Well, certainly China stands out right now. China got hit with anywhere from around 8 to around 21 inches of rain in this past 7 days, with much of that occurring from Friday through Monday. This was in their Yangtze River Basin area in the central portions of China, and some really serious flooding going on, as you might imagine, because it covers several of the provinces there, and we've heard all kinds of reports about crop damage. We'll hear more about it as we move forward in time. Outside of that, we continue to watch India. India's having kind of an erratic summer monsoon so far. It's like the third year in a row. A lot of concern there about some of the rainfall maybe not helping crops as much as they need to, and we'll continue to watch that real closely as we go forward through the balance of this month.
Okay, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can always listen again online at WILLAG.org.